The play is Jose Rivera's Bolaris for the Disenchanted, directed by Carrie Perloff, now playing at the ACT in San Francisco. Hi, this is Clint, and I'm joined by Lonnie. And we just saw this play, and I think we both really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we saw this play yesterday, it was a 2 o'clock performance and followed by a post-play discussion, which was a real treat.
And this one, thankfully, was a nice return to form after war music, which was an avant-garde experiment, let's say, and you know, mm-hmm. some of it worked, some of it didn't. This one was very solid, I think, all the way through. It was a little bit different in the sense that there was a beginning of the play and there's the end of the play, and I don't want to give away too much, but there's some time, not travel, I guess, but you know, it spans a lifetime.
Yeah, it's okay to give it away because I think that's a part that I mentioned in my review as well.
You're always giving stuff away. You're always spoiling.
Well, if anyone read the actual stuff on Axe website, they'd see it as well, Clint.
Oh, okay.
So it sets the first part of the story is set in Puerto Rico.
Right.
And it's about young love,
1950s.
Flora. Yeah, Flora, who is basically just discovers that her fiancé Manuel has been sleeping around the town. And being a small village, everybody talks and the rumors are just everywhere. And I think it really hits into the theme of this play quite quickly, which is around this idea of what is love and what is marriage and what are the compromises that you need to make. Because oftentimes you think of love and marriage as being very pure and uncompromising, but in real life, the way the events that unfold, it's not always like that. And I think in the second part of the play, which is fast forward 40 years,
mm-hmm. And in the United States.
Yes, in Alabama, actually, you see the results of a marriage. And as much as this was theater, I think a lot of the elements of how we look at our parents and as people get older, I think are really real in terms of mm-hmm. Dealing with, in this case, a case of diabetes and having to take care of Flora having to take care of her husband.
Right, and there's actually some conventional issues that are addressed in this play, such as assisted suicide, or there's a new term for it, actually. What's it called? It's called dignified death. And these were surprising to me because the first half of the play is kind of lighthearted, and there's a lot of comedy. And the second half, there's still comedy in the second half,
yeah.
And some funny lines and some really good acting, I thought. But it gets a little bit serious towards the end, and there's some emotional, in a good way. I think it's a good-hearted Jose Rivera. I think he really wrote this about his parents or his upbringing, and you can see it transformed in the play, and it's a very emotional ending. I don't know if there was a dry eye in the house at the end of this one. I don't think.
Yeah, I thought that in some ways it was interesting how rough life can be, and one of the things I do talk about in the review was a part that really hit home for me was when Flora's husband talks about his immigration to the U.S. and some of the jobs he had to take on, such as being a janitor in a high school and flipping burgers for, I think it was $90 a week or something like that. And it really hit home because, you know, my parents immigrated from China, actually. And
to Canada. Right.
And you know, they weren't flipping burgers or anything, but my mom took on a job she never thought she would take, which was she worked at a toy company, a manufacturer, and would comb the curls on the dolls, the heads of dolls, as they would roll down the conveyor belt.
She what? Curl the hair?
Yeah. So when you when you get a doll, right, in a box,
uh-huh.
They have beautiful curly hair. And I don't know if it's true now, but back then it was all manual, done by hand. So
wow,
the ball,
so it wasn't even done by machine.
No, the doll's heads would roll down and she would comment. And just the comments that Flora's husband made about being a janitor and being all these things to really be able to support the family and the growing family just really hit home for me because I do know how hard my parents worked during the time when they immigrated from China to offer me the types of opportunities I have now. So I think that even though this was done in Puerto Rico and then, you know, it was about that someone a family from Puerto Rico moving to U.S. I think the story of immigration and the story of hard work and betterment of life is one that resonates with anyone who's gone through the immigrant experience.
I think the themes are universal. And after the play, during the conversation, Carrie mentioned that it's really about, and I'm going to get this wrong, was it longing?
It was about longing.
Longing. And so the sense that over a lifetime of longing and being together and through the foibles of human nature, like you discussed earlier, and how people stick to each other through good times and bad, and I'm maybe oversimplifying and not capturing the essence of it, but there's some really great scenes toward the end between the mother and the father. And there's one scene in particular that I love. I guess I don't want to give away too much again, but at the end when it comes full circle. So it's the older couple looking back at their younger life back in Puerto Rico. And the way they capture that scene on stage, I thought was excellent. Very well done. Very emotional moment.
It was interesting about love through the seasons, I think, both in the springtime and the summer, as we saw earlier in the play, and then in the fall and winter.
I didn't even notice that.
In the second part of the play. And, well, it's something I think about quite often, which is the very nature of love and unconditional love. And I think that...
You think about that a lot.
I do sometimes, yes. I mean, I don't tell you about it. But it's always... I think it's easier to love someone when things are going well and when, you know, the birds are singing and it's spring and it's wonderful.
Right.
But I think what's beautiful and very heart-wrenching in the second part was when things weren't going well, how love and true love can really bind you together even at the worst of times. And it really tests out, I think, the strength of love and in some ways through all the hardships, love blooms even more beautifully.
Right. Well, it's something to say when times are tough, people's character really shows through. A similar kind of concept. Now, the acting, there were six actors in this, which was amazing. I mean, six actors. Now, they played double roles, so mm-hmm. there'd be 12 roles, six actors, right? And I think most of them played another role in the second act, different than the one they played in the first.
I think it's common quite in these plays to have actors play different roles. What I thought was sort of interesting was I didn't realize there was only six people.
Yeah,
because
right.
the costuming, like the acting, the everything was so different between different roles that it took me a little while to realize it was the same six people.
And I think the acting was very strong.
Yeah.
You know, there's the one cranky old kind of Puerto Rican father in the second act, played by Robert Beltran, I believe, right? He's on Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah.
Boy, he was strong. I mean,
yes.
He delivered a lot of great lines. He had a lot of emotion.
Especially, I mean, being an actor in stationary. I mean, if you think about the second part of the play, and I talk about this
That's right.
My review, is really, I mean, the only type of movement, there wasn't much music, whatever, it was the older husband sitting in the bed.
Yes,
he's bedridden. Then Flora walking back and forth. I mean, if you think about the actions involved, those were the only ones. And to convey that much emotion in such a limited space requires strong actors.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. Never did I think some of the criticism on the set design that I'd read, I don't agree with out there, saying that it limited what you could do in a small space like that. And that's some of the criticism I read. And I disagree with it. The play's been very well received, by the way. The reviews are great.
Yeah.
But there's been minor criticism, and I didn't agree with that because I thought it gave them a chance to really shine, the actors.
Yeah, actually, it was interesting because I wrote about this in the review, and I said that there was no way, and this is also often a challenge with stage, is there's no way to convey such a large scope of like the country of Puerto Rico or Alabama. And I think that in those situations, you don't try to literally interpret the setting. And in fact, what you do is you give elements and hints of it to really let the imagination flow and not to constrict it with being too literal. As opposed to, for example, San Jose Repertory Theater with the Spelling Bee, where this actually happened in a gymnasium. And in that one, it was the literal interpretation of high school gymnasium. Was perfect for that.
Right.
But in this case, to encompass the life and the vibrancy of Puerto Rico in a stage, to try to actually do it without taking it just figuratively, would be suicide.
Right. Excellent. Okay, so return to form, highly recommended. Anything else you want to add?
I thought that for people that have parents or that are going through some sort of sickness or have gone through the immigrant experience, I think that it will touch chords that that are very deep, and it was very heart-wrenching performance.
So you may want to bring Kleenex. It's I mean, it's a tough ending.
That are your spouse's shirt.
I mean, when they started the Q&A with the actors afterwards, yeah, I think Carrie had to wait till the audience kind of...
There was a moment of silence.
Yes, yes. And then wonderful applause. So we're recommending highly. Excellent play. Bolaris for the Disenchanted is playing at the ACT in San Francisco. Yeah.
There's only one more week of it, but definitely check it out. Call them up. Or if you're in San Francisco, pass by their box office on Geary and try to get seats before they end.
Thanks. This is Clint.
And this is Lonnie.